from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Jennifer Glass, and this is On Point. Biking with friends, playing in the park, walking to the corner store to pick up milk. Normal childhood stuff, right? Well, not in today's world of handheld helicopter parenting. Now, the moms and dads who let their kids traipse unsupervised have a fancy name: free-range parents. Some have even been hauled into court on neglect charges. A new law in Utah seeks to restore the rights of parents to let kids roam. This hour on Point, what childhood should be in a world that's not always so carefree. You can join us on air or online. Are you a free-range parent? Or do you squirm at the thought of leaving a child of any age unattended? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from Salt Lake City, Utah, is State Senator Lincoln Fillmore. He sponsored Utah's free-range parenting bill. Senator Fillmore, welcome to On Point.
Thanks. Hi, Jennifer. It's good to be with you.
Hi. Senator, what made you propose this law?
Well, you had mentioned in your introduction some parents who had been hauled into port for doing things like letting their children play at the park or letting their kids walk to school. And my bill was really in response to that, the idea that some parents want to give their children opportunities to be independent, to learn self-reliance, and that when parents do that sort of thing, it's not a crime. It's a style of parenting that's important. I think everybody would agree that kids need to learn to explore, to discover the world, to learn skills of problem-solving and self-reliance on their own so that they're not going to be completely reliant on their parents when they become adults.
And what do you think the law is going to change? Do we really need a law?
Yeah, we really do need a law because in states across the country, parents have in fact been arrested or lost custody of their children or been investigated really for things as simple as letting their kids play at the park. And for whatever you might have an opinion about that as a parenting style, I would think that most people could agree that that sort of thing is not a crime. That, you know, if you have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old kid playing at a park that's near your house, and then they walk home, it's not a crime. And so what this bill did was simply change the definition of neglect, which in states across the country is simply interpreted too broadly by police and by government agencies to include things like just leaving your kids unsupervised for any amount of time for any reason. And that really does get in the way of kids' ability to learn how to operate independently. And if kids don't learn those skills, then they're never going to be successful as adults.
And did you set an age limit? Did you set a grade level?
Working with our Department of Family Services, we decided not to set an age limit, really because kids mature at different rates. So the law calls for a child whose needs are otherwise met and who is of sufficient age and maturity. But I think everybody could appreciate the fact that not all 10-year-olds are at the same maturity level. And so we didn't want to expose less mature 10-year-olds or perhaps those that may have a developmental disability to danger. So we left that broadly so that parents, in consultation with courts and with our government agencies, could determine what that was on a case-by-case basis. But making it very clear that neglect does not include letting a child who's old and mature enough walk to the park or walk or ride a bike to school.
Did you face any opposition to this law?
Actually, in Utah, no. Since it's been passed, it's gotten a fair amount of media coverage. You know, a tiny law in Utah that was about 2 pages long is now on Point on NPR. And so since it passed, but actually it passed the both of our houses of our legislature unanimously. It was signed by our governor without ceremony. I'm pleased by the attention because I think it brings up a necessary point that I'm glad it's a conversation that we're having so that parents can start thinking about what are the reasonable steps that we can take to help our kids be independent, and that it ought to get government agencies to start thinking what can we do to get out of parents' way so that when they make decisions about what's the right level of independence that their children can have as they grow up, that that's a decision that courts and government agencies can support parents in rather than come in with a hammer and terminating parental rights for crimes as simple as letting your kid play basketball in the front yard.
Senator Lincoln Fillmore, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Joining me now from New York is Lenore Skenazy. She's the founder of Free Range Kids Movement and the author of Free Range Kids, How to Raise Safe, Self-Reliant Children Without Going Nuts with Worry. In 2008, she published a story of how she allowed her then 9-year-old son to take the New York City subway home alone. Parents across the country called her America's worst mom. Lenore, welcome to On Point.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. Lenore, my mind back. Yeah.
Well, it was that subway ride, Lenore, 10 years ago that led you to inventing this free-range parent movement. Mm-hmm. What is it all about?
Basically, it's about recreating my entire childhood, you know, if we're going to get really psychoanalytic about it. But really, it's the idea that kids have always grown up playing outside with their friends, mixed age groups, and parents who let them were considered normal, not negligent. And the reason they could let them go and play outside or walk to school, run some errands, is because we didn't think of children as in constant danger. And what has changed is this lens that we look through, this distorting, dystopian lens, where we think that anytime a child is outside unsupervised, oh my God, they're in grave danger, when of course they're not. And in fact, they're in less danger than when I was growing up, or probably than when you were growing up, Jennifer, because the crime rate today is at a 50-year low. And there's no reason, if our parents sent us out to play or ride your bikes till the streetlights come on, that we can't do the same for our own kids. However, after I started talking about that, once in a while I would get a letter from somebody, usually time-stamped at 3 a.m., saying, I'm shaking, Lenore. Somebody called 911 today when they saw my kid outside, you know, walking or playing or whatever, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen because tomorrow somebody from Child Protective Services is coming to interview me about a decision that I made lovingly and rationally, knowing my kid and knowing my community. What can I do? At which point I generally said, oh, my God, now I realize what needs to happen next with Free Range Kids and with this whole movement. And now it's called Let Grow. I'm at a new nonprofit, is decriminalizing parents who make that decision to let their kids go outside.
It sounds so logical and so straightforward. And yet you got a lot of criticism. You got a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
You were called the world's worst mom. Right. That couldn't have been
right.
fun. Tell me about the kind of criticisms you got. Actually, on our website, Gumby version 218 says the proof will be in the pudding. When the next kid is abducted, we'll see what the real risk tolerance is. What kind of criticism have you gotten?
It's generally exactly that. We've sort of been, I almost feel like, trained to always think of this worst-case scenario. And the worst-case scenario is the idea of a stranger danger abduction, which happens to be, thank God, I'm knocking wood here in the New York studios, the rarest of all crimes. There's something strange about the way we've been, the way we see childhood today, because we don't go, oh my God, you drove your child to the dentist. Don't you know that the number one way kids die is as car passengers? Why did you do that? Something terrible could have happened. We'll see the next time you put your kid in the car how high your risk tolerance is. We don't do it with any time that a child is supervised. But somehow, simply letting them walk to school, which is actually safer than driving them to school, we have categorized as an extremely risky activity when it's not. So all I'm trying to do is put risk back in perspective. There's never been a time in the history of the world when there is no risk. But there is certainly not greater risk today than when we were growing up. And our parents let us go outside without having to go through this shaming, blaming, what if, finger pointing that somehow has become popular today. I'm trying to put those fingers back in the pockets, let people go on with their lives.
And, of course, now is the age of what we call helicopter parents, parents who hover, who are with their children all the time. Was this a reaction to that? Is this anti-helicopter parenting?
Well, I never say I'm anti anything that parents do, because I feel like that's part of the problem, that everybody is like saying, oh, I wouldn't do it that way. And either they go online to complain about somebody, or they take a picture, or they call 911, which is how we got into the problem of people being arrested for letting their kids walk home from the park or play outside. But what has happened is there's this delusion that somehow we can be in complete control of our children's lives every single second. And I was going to say from the moment they wake up, but in fact, there are little devices that you you can put on your baby to register their movement and their temperature and their blood oxygen level and their heart rate throughout the night. And, of course, you can look at their room through an infrared monitor to see if anybody's getting in or what's happening. So we feel like there's a way – I mean, there technologically is a way to be in constantly omniscient about what is happening with our kids' lives. And once you feel that you can be always watching, always protecting, it's hard to say, you know what, I'm going to trust them. I'm not going to GPS them. I'm not going to make them text every time they get to school. I'm not going to drive them. I believe in them in the world. And so it is really hard to make the conscious decision to give our kids the freedom we had. But I argue that it's good for both generations to take a step back.
Lenore, was there one thing, a day when you decided, okay, my 9-year-old is going to go on the subway?
Yeah, there was. He had been asking me and my husband for a couple of months, would we please take him someplace he'd never been before and let him find his own way home. And I had a Sunday free 10 years ago. And so I took him to Bloomingdale's, which is a place he hadn't been. Beautiful department store in a safe neighborhood. And that's when I let him go. And it was after my husband had sat on the floor with him with a subway map. Do you know how to read it? Yes, yes. Speaks the language. We're on the subways all the time. I believe there's safety in numbers as opposed to the city being unsafe. I think of it as pretty safe. And that's when I let him go.
Lenore Scanese, stay with us. Her decision 10 years ago to let her 9-year-old ride on the subway alone led her to lead the free-range parenting movement. That's what we're discussing today. There's a new law in Utah declaring it's not a crime for parents to let their children engage in independent activities, like walking home from a park. Now, you can join in this conversation. Is the world just too dangerous these days to let kids roam? How do you decide when kids no longer need you there to supervise? I'm Jennifer Glass, and this is On Point.
I'm Linda Holmes. There's more stuff to watch these days than you can ever get to. That's why we make Pop Culture Happy Hour. Twice a week, we give you the lowdown on what's worth your time and what's not. Find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Jennifer Glass. We're discussing free-range kids, the parenting style allowing kids to do more on their own without a parent's watchful eye. Utah passed a law protecting parents who let their kids roam from being hauled into court on neglect charges. Do parents need to loosen their grip? Let kids get lost sometimes? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm speaking with Lenore Scanese, founder of the Free Range Kids Movement. When her son was 9, she let him take the New York City subway by himself and faced a lot of flack. I'd like to bring in a new voice in the conversation. Joining me from Washington is Megan Leahy. She's the parenting columnist at The Washington Post, and she's also a certified parent coach and mother of 3 daughters. Megan, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Megan, how do you keep track of your kids?
With collars and leashes. I'm in the mecca of helicopter parenting in Washington, D.C. So it is a daily challenge to let go, only because it is unpopular in our culture at large to let them walk to the park. I will say that because I live actually in the city proper, walking to school is the most efficient and the best way to get to school. So my children, 2 out of the 3, do walk themselves up and back to school by themselves often. They're 14 and 10, though. I wouldn't quite call them young. But that doesn't happen in a large part of the country, just even due to distances.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
Well, Odetta is calling in from Beaufort, South Carolina. Odetta, thanks for calling into On Point. You're on the air.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there.
I just wanted to put in a comment that I actually agree with free-range parenting, but I think it's gotten out of hand with perceived fear that we have of our children. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I took my 7-year-old son and my 4-month-old son to the park with my husband. My husband was in the basketball court, fairly large park, and he was going around a large pond on his bike, and I was walking with the 4-month-old in the stroller. And he'd check in with me every 15 to 20 minutes or so, but I'd allowed him to do his own thing.
That's your 7-year-old.
Children. Yes, I believe children need that. I had that growing up in New York City, just, you know, be back by 8, 9 o'clock, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. And that being said, we had the cops called on us. And it was just very upsetting because in that aspect, you could have asked him, hey, where are your parents? He would have mm-hmm. been able to point either of us out, but instead they just assumed probably the worst and called the cops. And luckily, nothing else came from it. But now I kind of feel almost like I'm being pressured or forced uh-huh. to be a helicopter parent. Otherwise, cops get called on me.
Because of the other parents around you. Megan, you covered this. This is your beat. Is this something that you're seeing more and more?
You know, what I see is people who tend to, like kind of Lenore said, people who live in the city tend to be maybe a little more tolerant of having kids go free. Maybe it's just because there's just so many people. But when you get out into these larger suburban areas, I do have parents that, you know, one of the major parenting problems that people call me with is that the parents are trapped with their children
mm-hmm.
on beautiful days, right? 65 degrees, the sun is out, and the parents feel like they are being held hostage. And there isn't this idea that you can just let the kids go outside, right? So everybody puts a $12,000 place structure in their backyard. But guess what? That's boring, too.
Right. And so, not everyone can afford it.
Most people can't, right? But you'll see in the sprawl many of these types of things. So what ends up happening is that parents end up struggling with their kids more. And have more frustrations, more discipline problems because their kids are not sufficiently independent and outside and being able to move their bodies.
Lenore, how do you advise parents like that?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that as Megan has hit the nail on the head, that is exactly what's happened. It's like we've taken away the freedom of children, and in the process, we've taken away the freedom of adults, often the moms, who suddenly have to spend every waking hour. Our parents could send us out in the morning on a Saturday and see us, you know, maybe at lunch or maybe at dinner time. And that's why when you asked before, you know, are you sick of helicopter parents? It's like half these parents don't want to be spending every single second with their children, encouraging and watching and playing with them. They want the kids to go have a life. But of course, if you're afraid that you're going to be arrested, that's hard. And also, if there are no other kids outside, that's hard.
Yes.
So there are the two things that we're working on, you know, at Let Grow, which is my organization. One is, of course, you know, trying to get other states and even cities to pass, you know, free-range parenting proclamations that say we want to have kids outside. We won't arrest the parents and we'll assist the kids. If we see a kid walking around, we won't assume they're neglected. We'll check in. Are you okay? Are you lost? Do you need anything? And if they say, I'm fine, I'm going to go pick up the bread, we go, great, kid. And then they go on their way and we go on our way without anybody calling in the authorities like poor Odetta had happened to her. And the other thing, one of the projects that we're trying to get done through Let Grow is after-school free play, keeping the schools open all afternoon for kids to play, whether it's in the playground or the gym, so that they get a modicum of that experience of goofing around with kids and coming up with ideas and mixed-age kids playing together so that the 11-year-old learns to toss the ball a little softer to the 6-year-old, and the 6-year-old doesn't have a tantrum but holds it together because he wants to look like a cool older kid to the 8-year-olds. And a lot of parents want this experience for their kids. They can't get it by sending them outside anymore because there's no one outside or they're worried about somebody calling 911. So if you left the schools open for plain old free play, not organized, not structured by the adults, there's somebody in the nurse's office with an EpiPen, but otherwise the kids are playing, that's one way to bring back a modicum of the freedom that we had that we're all lamenting is gone.
So spaces where kids can play and a better sense of community. I want to get to the phones. We've got so many people calling in.
Oh, I bet.
Amanda, you're calling from Yarmouth, Maine. Thanks for calling On Point.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I am a free-range parent of an 8 and 10-year-old. I started about 2 years ago, so when my daughter was 8. And she asked. She asked to be left at home alone, and then she asked to walk around our small village. So I definitely trusted her, and I went ahead and gave her that leash and she felt so comfortable, or not leash.
Let her off the leash.
On her own. Yeah, off the leash. And even now on the weekends, so now my 8 and 10-year-olds go up to the local coffee shop and get my husband and I our coffee. So in the morning, we're laying in bed and they bring us our coffee. And, you know, I trust my kids 100%. We do not question our decision, and we speak really openly with our neighborhood parents about this choice. And personally, I'm a lot more afraid of raising an anxious kiddo and a kiddo afraid of independence than them being abducted. I just, you know, this age of 24-hour news cycles that you see everything going on all over the world of these children, you know, being hurt or abducted, and it's just not the case anymore. And if we're safer, it's safer than it's ever been. And if we can't do it now, we'll never be able to do it. And we're raising kiddos that are just super anxious and can't seem to handle it out there. And I don't want that for my kids.
Megan, there is a lot of anxiety out there, isn't there?
Oh, there's so much anxiety. And I'm going to just, you know, give a shout out to the parents who are doing the best they can, because we know in our hearts that we can have faith in our fellow Americans, even though the country feels a little wild right now. We actually know intellectually that people are generally good. We can find the data that supports that children are pretty safe, that the abductions are mostly people you know, like custody issues, and that sexual assault is also from people you know, right? Mm-hmm. So that is true, and parents know that. But the 24-hour cycle is working on a part of our brain that is easily panicked, right? And there's nothing more panicking to a parent than going right into that family unit. And so you actually have to stay diligent as a parent to not tune in to the news, because, you know, I feel like parents get thrown under the bus, but then you tune in and the brain takes in the horrors of the images, especially. If you can read the print, your brain can handle it. But it's the images and the ticker, and a sensible, rational, quote unquote, free range parent can be tripped right into anxiety. It is the parents' anxiety, right, that leeches more into the kids. And so I'm always telling the parents, like, listen, you have to – it's an act of faith that to break through the anxiety, because we want to return to a time that we're never going to. Because my parents didn't raise me with a CNN ticker of remains found in a field, right?
It's a different day. From a listener on Twitter, Joni McPhee, at Joni Gentian, good grief, good riddance to discussions of, quote, helicopter parenting, but I can't believe that, quote, free-range parenting is a thing now. I just can't relate to whatever part of society where it is or why Utah requires a law to allow what I see as completely normal. But not everyone sees this as completely normal, do they, Megan?
No. No, and we don't have one culture of parenting anymore. And maybe we never did. It was just the predominant culture. But now that we have a truly set of people in these United States that are really bringing their own ideas to the forefront and not just, you know, the predominant white male culture, now we have everybody coming in. And so everyone's allowed to do what they feel is right for their families. And Lenore is exactly right. And this bill is exactly right. Parents have the right. If you want to keep your child locked up in your home from the light of day, you have that right. And if you want to let them outside until 8 o'clock at night, you have that right. And I think that it is a sad statement on our country, but it's what's needed, because if you are on the other side of, as what that other caller said, of being arrested as your or having the cops called, I'm sorry, while your 7-year-old rides a bike, you want a bill in your state to protect you.
And can I add that the bill in Utah was passed unanimously? So it's not like a left-wing conspiracy or a right-wing thing. It's a whole legislature recognizing that parents don't want to have to be second-guessed by a busybody with a cell phone calling, you know, a young child protective services worker saying, like, well, I wouldn't let my kid do that at age 8, so I'm going to arrest you. It's like, no, I actually know and care about my kid more than you do, and I made this decision, and you can see that I'm not starving them or beating them, so why don't you back off?
Uh-huh. Giving parents the right to raise their
to
kids
raise
the way
their
they
kids.
Want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert is calling from Detroit, Michigan. Robert, thanks so much for calling in.
Sure. Hi, Jennifer. I think that this conversation is really one-sided. Mm-hmm. My daughter was lifeguard, and parents would often take their kids to the pool and not watch them, even toddlers, and they were going underwater constantly. And there's a cost to society with this, because when you let your kids roam freely, then you need to hire more lifeguards. You need to have your neighbors looking out for them when they're outside. And I don't think we're getting that element in the discussion. You're kind of putting your parenting on other people.
So what do you think parents should be doing?
Well, I think if the parents are watching out for their own kids, a lot of people are having parents and they're letting them roam around. And as a child, I had the same kind of upbringing where I come home and the streetlights are on. However, I have to say that there were lots of accidents. Kids make dumb decisions. And, you know, whether they get a seizure or they fall down or some other kid hits them, we were going to the hospital a lot when we were little. And I don't see that happening anymore like we used to. And I think that, you know, parents need to watch their own kids, or as a society, we need to pay higher taxes or something and have more police, more lifeguards, and people looking out for these kids that are just roaming the streets. We have adults who don't even watch where they're going because they're texting, and kids are doing the same thing. They have the phones, they're texting, they're riding their bikes, cars are coming out of driveways, they don't see them. I can see some of the benefits of this, but to actually make laws where we say, just let your kids roam free, it's kind of weird to me.
Well, Robert, I don't thank you for that. That's a really important point. I'm not sure that that's exactly what the law says. Lenore, do you want to respond to Robert?
Oh, yeah, sure. First of all, I agree. I want to live in a society where neighbors are looking out for each other. I don't think of that as a hideous obligation and something beyond the pale. I think of that as the kind of society I want to live in, where if you see a kid and they look a little confused, you say, hey, are you okay? Do you know how to cross the street? And they say, yeah, I do. And then you let them. Or if they're lost, you help them, as opposed to calling 911 and saying some horrible parent has let their child play outside. And but I'd say that lifeguards are crucial. And the law does not say send your 3-year-old to the beach without an adult. It says when you feel your child is ready for independence and you being the parent love your child enough that you're going to want them to survive, you're going to teach them the things that our parents taught us, how to cross the street safely. Don't get into a car with anyone. You can talk to strangers, but you can't go off with strangers. So I don't see a sudden world filled with, you know, toddlers running here and there and extremely irresponsible children, you know, doing things that we didn't do. I see it as a sort of old-fashioned idea that kids can take care of themselves to a certain extent. And you mentioned things like, you know, what if a child falls down or someone hits them? The idea that childhood should be completely adversity-free, that no child should ever fall down. And if they fall down, it's just proof that they should have been with a parent and the parent should have been there with a first aid kit and a phone. That's not necessary. And to rewrite any normal day in a kid's life where they get stung by a bee or they trip over a rock or they get into an argument with a friend as reason that they should never be unsupervised again, that's not something I subscribe to.
Megan, kids should be allowed to have skinned knees? Briefly.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It is the quickest way for the child to learn what a real-life consequence is. I will say I have empathy for him because there will always be a group of parents that leave the parenting duties to other people in a more extreme way. And it that will be unfair, but, you know, we'll take care of that.
NPR.
NPR's Code Switch tackles race and identity in America with humanity and humor. You'll laugh, you'll learn, you'll get uncomfortable. It's worth it. Find Code Switch on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Jennifer Glass. We're discussing free-range kids, the parenting philosophy giving children more freedom to navigate the world on their own. You can join the conversation. Are the dangers kids face today overblown? What can they learn from a little independence? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm speaking with Lenore Skenazy, founder of the Free Range Kids Movement, and Megan Leahy, parenting columnist of The Washington Post. I want to get to some of our listeners. First, Kevin is calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Kevin, thanks for calling On Point.
Hi, how are you, Jennifer?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, so I'm a public school teacher. I've been teaching for 19 years in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, grades 1 through 12. And I like to tell the kids about how when I lived in Korea at 2 years old, I would hop the fence and run out on my own into Seoul. I used to bike for miles when we lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, by myself. And I came home. I came home all the time. There were a couple times where somebody would find a little two-year-old running around Seoul and bring them back, and my horrified mother, but I made it back. And the kids are shocked. Some of these kids never go outside. Some of my students are never allowed to leave their neighborhood, mostly the kids who live in the suburbs. So, you know, when I talk to the parents and they're talking about their kids bored or their kids are always on their cell phones or always playing video games, I'm like, well, just let them go outside. And the looks on parents' faces, I'm telling you, it's like I'm talking another language. They are scared and they don't know what to do. But I'm like, oh, I turned out all right. And we all laugh. But
thanks, Kevin.
It's okay to let your kids go out.
Thanks, Kevin. So two might be a little bit young, but Kevin's saying that he turned out okay, and he's a teacher, and he's seeing problems. Holly is calling from Akron, Ohio. Holly, thanks for calling On Point.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm actually the parenting columnist for the Akron Beacon Journal for five children, ages 24 to 5. And Akron's a city. It's a smaller city, but it is, by all means, a city. And when my big kids were, about 8 or 9, I let them bike everywhere. They would bike downtown into the city to go to the main library. One time, my son didn't lock his bike, and it got stolen, lessons learned. And they would go to the comic book shop and all kinds of things and never had any problems other than the bike being stolen. But again, that was his fault. When my third son was 11, I was meeting a friend for lunch out in the suburbs, and I asked if he wanted to come with, and he instead wanted to be dropped off at a park out in the suburbs that's very nice, has a nature center. And within an hour, I was getting frantic calls because the rangers had kind of sequestered him inside the nature center, and he was terrified. I went in and asked why he was being given such a hard time. This is a public place. And they said, well, we're not set up to watch children. He didn't need watched. And I pointed out to them, I could have just as easily dropped him at the mall where he would have perhaps been less safe, certainly wouldn't be out in nature. I also want to remind all of you, if you haven't mentioned it yet, the book A Walk in the Woods, which the author writes about nature deprivation disorder, which kids are suffering from today because they don't get outside enough, and that actually crime rates are much lower against children today than they were back in the 70s when I was growing up and coming in with the streetlights going on.
But no repercussions? The park officials let the kid go? How does your son feel about officials now?
Well, as soon as the funny thing is, my son was a budding biologist. He's actually since worked for a national park here in Northeast Ohio. In the moment we walked out of that nature realm, he burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And I was very clear with the ranger that I thought this was inappropriate. And then she asked for my identification. And I said, you get me your supervisor. And I followed up with the park service, sent them a long letter, sent them references to books, including A Walk in the Woods and The Last American Man and all kinds of things that show how important it is for kids to be outside and what happens. You know, children grow up to do amazing things when they have that ability and opportunity.
Thanks,
and the
Holly.
The district wrote me back and
Thanks, Holly. It's an amazing story. Something, Megan, we're hearing a little bit more problems like this with parents being turned in. Is that something you see in covering parenting for the Washington Post?
No, I don't see parents getting turned in because parents don't let them out. you know, that the story in Maryland of the couple who's
Métis.
Yeah, the Métis. Yeah. That scared the pants off of people. And I'm
going to interrupt you there. We actually can talk a little bit about this. This story was happened on a Saturday afternoon in December 2014. It's Danielle and Alexander Métis. They allowed their 10-year-old son and their 6-year-old daughter to walk home alone from the park in Silver Spring, Maryland. Someone reported seeing them to the police. And here's Alexander, the father, explaining how the authorities responded in a Washington Post video.
A worker from the Child Protective Services came to our door with a safety plan, which required me not to leave children unattended. And I looked at it and I said, can I get back to you on that? I need to look it over. I need to consult with my wife, who was out of town, maybe show it to an attorney. And she said, if you don't sign right now, we'll take the kids. And she called the police. So I signed.
So there you have it, really stunning story of police pressuring him to sign a document or threatening to take his children. Megan, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's fine.
You were referring to that. I wanted our listeners to know what exactly you're talking about.
Yeah, and that story, at least in the area that I live, but that story went very national because it seemed so outrageous. And in listening to the caller who's the parenting columnist in Ohio, I have empathy even for those park police. I have empathy for the cops. I have empathy for the parents, and I have empathy for the kids. As a culture, we don't have a plan.
Uh-huh.
We had one cultural identity of send your kid outside no matter what, right? Maybe even to the extreme. Because I knew growing up kids that should have not been outside with the group of kids that I was running with. Right. They actually needed more supervision. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to brush the good old days with this magic wand of everything was just sunny and fun. Right. There were kids who were not getting the supervision they needed. And yet now we've swung the pendulum so far that nobody has an idea. Right. So if I saw a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old and I'm a cop walking, they were on Georgia Avenue, which for those of you who don't know, is extraordinarily busy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As a cop, I'd pull over too.
Why? Why would you pull over?
Because I would be concerned to see two kids if I know that the cops have been trained, as they are now, without parents on Georgia Avenue. And so the bills are being passed so that we can all come together to say, let's push reset.
So authorities are under more pressure, you think, Megan, to make sure that they don't get in trouble if something happens to a child on their beat or in their area?
They're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. If they don't stop and that kid trips off the sidewalk and is hit, you know, and it comes out that they saw those kids, right? How will that look? If they don't stop the kids and something happens, these are fears and these cops are trained to take care of children. Right. And I have empathy for these people,
mm-hmm.
and which is why I'm glad that bills are being passed so that we can have a larger cultural conversation about hitting reset and allowing for common sense, whatever that may mean anymore, mm-hmm. to come back into the conversation.
So getting a set of rules. Let's go back to the phones. David is calling from Kennebunkport, Maine. David, thanks for calling On Point.
Yeah, thanks very much. I was interested in this call because I'm 68 years old. My mother is 109.
Literally?
She's 109, and she took me to kindergarten about a mile and a half from my house in South Boston down a deep, steep street and on the first day of school. And she told me, do you know the way now to back to house? And I said, yes. And she said, well, if you get in any trouble, just knock on someone's door, and they'll help you. And I never did, and I walked to school for years and years. And I'm really kind of tired of these people who protecting a kid from the good of society, because there's far more good than there is evil. And these fear mongers who keep coming up all the time to prevent kids from advancing and growing in their lives and facing the fact that life is full of issues and dangers and they have to adapt to it. I'm so tired of hearing those people have a predominant voice, especially in law enforcement, because I think law enforcement has catered to the fear mongers instead of those people who say, there's tons of people, 99% of the people in this country, if you said, look out for this kid walking back from school, would help them.
So better
instead of these people, these people calling in to the police, if they went out and said, listen, kids, where are you going, and I'll help you get home. If they did that, then they maybe would have a better impact on society.
Thank you, David. From Waterbury, Vermont, John is calling. John, thanks so much for calling in. You're on Point.
Hi, Jen. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's a fascinating topic and actually one that has built my career around. I'm a summer camp director at Hosmer Point in Craftsbury, Vermont. And we create that environment, as do all summer camps, where children can not be worried about anything, really, except each other. And we create that safety area where they can grow and learn within an organized chaos system. And I think there's lots of opportunities out there for parents to explore, whether it's even public schools now that are moving more towards an outdoor education-based model. We order lots of Band-Aid boxes and lots of bars of soap. So I just encourage parents to look for opportunities out there, including summer camps and these other opportunities. So thanks for this incredible topic. And
thank you, John.
Day.
Thanks for taking part. And one more call. Inga is calling from Wakefield, Rhode Island. Inga, you're on Point.
Yeah. Hi, Jennifer. I'm happy you took my call. I come from Denmark, where the kids are running free all over the place, and I felt very restricted when I got a child over here and trying to adhere to that. So I'm totally on your side. There's one particular thing I want to go back to. The father who called, whose daughter was a lifeguard. I am an ER nurse of 40 years, and I tell you, when it comes to water, pools, water, the toddlers running free there, it takes but a minute for them to fall in and be damaged severely or maybe die. So I live on the water. I see kids running down the end of my long dock. They can hardly walk there, but the parents are sitting up in the house. And if the kids should fall in the water, they don't have time to run down from the house. So that is the one area where I think that more responsibility should be on the parent. Like, you go to the beach, you don't let your little kids run around in the water. You should be there with them. That's my only thing, because it's dangerous and it takes but a second for a kid to get in trouble.
Inga, thank you very much for that. That's so important. I want to go to some of our other listeners from our website. Hello Kitty says, we don't need free-range laws. That's stupid. We need smarter authorities that check out the situation without escalating the situation to parental arrest. And on Twitter, Toby Lucina says, no one seems to be talking about the racialized aspect of this. How many working black mothers do you think have had their kids taken away for not being with their kids all the time? Every time this comes up, it seems to be focused on white middle-class moms. Megan?
Well, geez, yeah. And there's an interesting set of data out there that working class parents, I don't know so much about the data as how it breaks down into race, but working parents don't seem to have this helicopter parenting issue because they don't have time. So their children are more free range out of necessity. Mm-hmm. But ironically, as if you move into dangerous urban environments, which is where lower income black family live, black families live, then you actually turn into that these children aren't allowed out. because there are actual real and serious danger issues. It is a whole different conversation. And yes, helicopter parenting is a white person issue, it seems, and it is a higher socioeconomic class issue, which is quite a luxury and a privilege for many of us, I'd like to say.
Thanks, Megan. Quick final word from you, Lenore.
When helicopter parenting becomes the norm and anything less than that is considered illegal and worthy of investigation, then, of course, people of lower means are going to have it the worst, because if they have to let their kid come home as a latchkey kid because they're working, they, too, should not be investigated if they're making a decision based on what their circumstances are, what they know their kid can handle, and reality of their kid being pretty darn safe doing some things on their own. Who are the authorities to second guess their own loving, rational parenting decisions?
So you think that it is a divided issue, that it's something
No, no. All I'm saying is when this idea that you must be hovering all the time and take your kids from one activity to the next becomes the only acceptable parenting means, then we're all under the same yoke, and some people have even fewer resources to do it with. So that's why we need a law like Utah's to give the parenting decisions back to the parents and take them away from the authorities.
Lenore Skenazy is the founder of the Free Range Kids Movement. Ending this discussion, thank you so much, Lenore, for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer.
And Megan Leahy is a parenting columnist at The Washington Post. Megan, thanks much to you.
Thank you.
You can continue this conversation and get on the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Thanks for joining us today talking about free range parenting. I'm Jennifer Glass, and this is On Point.